Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. And coming up on the show, we are going to take a look back at a crazy finish on Monday Night Football. Did the Titans get it done, or did the Bills just flat out lose it? We've also got some rumors about a free agent quarterback making a return, a hypothetical question regarding Russell Wilson we're going to throw out there, a feud in the world of sports, a Hall of Famer and an athlete in their prime go at it on Twitter. Jimbo Fisher makes a lot of people in Texas A&M feel real good. Brett Bielema makes a lot of people in Champaign not feel good. And the great Petros Papadakis stops by. All of that is coming up next here. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and you right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We got a game that could impact the future of the AFC playoffs. We will get into all of that here. A crazy finish last night on Monday Night Football, and that's coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are making us a part of your Tuesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. And we will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific here on Fox Sports Radio. And guys, it was a Monday Night Football game, another classic primetime game NFL this season. And it was the Tennessee Titans near the goal line on a decision by Buffalo to pass up the field goal and go for the first down to try and win the game. Unfortunately, come up short, and it was Tennessee with a big-time win and what Brady called the best Monday Night Football game he's ever seen, a classic in the words of one Brady Quinn.
You know, I had boots on the ground there.
Wow.
I had boots on the ground. And as per the usual, from that information, all right, gleams a lot of question for you guys. All right. Boots on the ground, one of which happened to be a Buffalo Bills fan. And apparently, and I said this to you via text, I'm going to say it now, the Bills Mafia travels, man. Like, that's a passionate fan base. They're there in Nashville. They said everyone's, you know, providing them that Southern hospitality. Everyone's really nice to them. But, Jonas, they were trying to get a piece of their mascot, if you will, out there on the field in Nashville. They were.
Yeah? Well, the old the annual Bildo toss?
There was a traveling Bildo.
Oh, jeez.
And there was an attempt, but it fell short. But the traveling Bildo of the Bills Mafia almost made it onto the field there in Nashville.
Again, I don't know who gave them the right to go through my top drawer, but you know, I'm tired of this, Brady. It happens every year seemingly with this
the
team.
Nerve.
Can I ask this? I mean, come on. In that situation, because I always wonder, like, the Bills are the better team, all right? In my opinion, the Bills are the better team. The Titans have now had their number, you could say, the past couple years. But in that scenario, do you not just kick it and say, we're better, we will win this game in overtime? Or do you take into account the fact that you're on the road? Do you take into account the fact that Derrick Henry,
bingo,
God, he just cannot be stopped.
By the way, his contract's a bargain now, right?
It's always a bargain. I don't know. He's a Hall of Famer.
He's unbelievable.
Always a bargain.
I was going to say, are you guys okay with the play call at the end? Are you okay with the fact that they, you know, were sitting in shotgun? They tried to get a little, crafty, tried to get a little sneaky there, and then wanted to do the QB sneak with Josh Allen under center at the last minute. And then he looks like he slips, gets stopped. Are you okay with the play call? Or would you rather his size, physicality, he would have just gone up to the line of scrimmage and just QB sneaked it and called a timeout, and then we move forward?
There's an art form to it. Am I on delay? Well, I'm on delay here. So the way I look at it, guys, is really when you get into a situation like that, like you said, Brady, I think they are the better team in this game. So if you're saying to yourself, we're the better team in this game, we can get it in overtime. I almost feel like if you're that close to the end zone, it's the most critical but most enticing moment to have during the course of a game is to give your guys the ability to say, hey, we're going to go out here, we're going to push these guys back, and we're going to win the game. So you never really know if that's going to backfire on you. You know, unfortunately for Buffalo, it backfired on them. And they were in – to me, when you got a guy like Allen as your quarterback who's so big, strong, and physically put together, I mean, that's a play that is a given for Tom Brady. But what Tom Brady does is he doesn't overestimate his physical prowess. He understands that he has to look for the opening that's going to be there in a short yardage situation like that. Josh Allen just snapped the ball and put his head down and said, look, we're going to battery ram this one into the end zone, and we're going to win. And sometimes that just doesn't – when a defense is expecting that and anticipating that, it just doesn't work out that way. So I just thought the play calling could have been a little bit better. I thought it was way too predictable in that moment, and I thought you could have did better on what the last play would have been. But, again, that's 2020 hindsight, guys.
Here's what I don't know. In that system, because I played for Brian Daboll, you have the ability, if you see an A-gap or if you think you can get it, to be able to make a check and just go get it. I don't know if he did in that instance. You know, I don't know what the play call was or what it wasn't. It did seem that there was a couple things throughout the game that was definitely apparent. And that was, you know, the Titans, and a lot of teams have done this to both Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, and they've played back soft zone coverage, not let anything really get behind him unless there was a mistake, which, you know, might have been one or two there in last night's game. But basically say, throw a check down, throw short all game long, or see if you know, we can't force him to want to scramble up and just rally up to tackle him and make him run, make him take off. Because it seemed like that was happening at different, you know, points throughout the game. And that's where it was a little predictable to me, at least from the Titans' defensive standpoint. Like, they knew that if he would get impatient and he'd want to pressure, he'd want to stress, they're used to scoring a bunch of points. And points, you know, came easy at times, maybe not easy enough. And so I wonder in that instance if the frustration, everything else that was there, led to him saying, you know what, I'm going to put this on me. And I'm going to check to this. I'm going to check to a sneak. I see an A gap. I think I can do it. And the slip was unfortunate. But I don't, you know, at the end of the game, I still just harken back to, if you feel like you're the better team, you know, do you just kick the, you're right there. Do you kick the field goal, go into overtime? Because here's the other thing you guys are missing out on. Is by sitting there and trying to get the first down and go win in regulation, you're not covering for your fans out there, okay?
That's
You've
a good
got
point.
Either 6 points, 5.5 points.
Great
Screw
point.
You guys for not trying to take that thing into overtime where you could potentially cover the 6-point spread
point.
That I had laid on Monday Night Football.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, and
yeah,
listen.
You always bring it back to betting.
Look, you got to have priorities.
I'm just saying, man.
Listen, you got to have priorities. All right, there's people out there. It's, you know, it's been a tough couple of years. You got the holidays coming up. People got to stock up.
The over was done in the third quarter.
And listen,
okay?
Man, people got to stock up on Halloween candy. So the least you could do is try and go for
send their
it.
Kids to college.
You know, yeah, it's just a terrible spot to be in. Now, Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, the team who Brady pointed out earlier, have fans who toss objects onto the field from time to time, which double is something that we can't get into until later on in the show. But Sean McDermott, he spoke after the game about the final play of the game for the Bills on offense.
Felt good about our chances. I had a chance to win the game right there, and we didn't get it done. The signal was first down. They signaled first down, and they changed it from what I was told after the game there when I visited with Cleet that I think they radioed down and changed it. So I believe so, yes. You know, at the end of the day, I trust him, and I'll trust him again if we're in that situation again. So I'll take Josh Allen, as you said, Sal, 10 times out of 10. So give them the credit. They made the play they had to make when the game was on the line.
So there's the Bills head coach, Brady. You okay with that?
He's referring to the fourth down?
Yes.
The quarterback's,
yeah.
He really thinks they got it? I mean, it wasn't anywhere close. I think he lost yardage. I don't think he got back to the line of scrimmage. But no,
yeah,
I'm not excited about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to cover this. That's all I'm asking for. I'm asking for a win and a cover, all right?
That is hilarious.
Go ahead, LeVar.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, just in watching the game last night, if it comes down to it and you got a quarterback like that, I've never understood why you don't just take the easiest play in the world, which is to get the QB sneak. But all that being said, are we going to look back on this game later on? And we talked about it, Bills-Chiefs, to where last year the Chiefs beat the Bills in the regular season. They ended up having to go to Kansas City in the AFC title game. That game last night, are we going to look back on that and go, because of that decision and that quarter of a yard or half yard or whatever you want to call it, the Bills are going to be on the road in a tough spot at, say, a Baltimore because of a game like that? Sean McDermott looked frustrated as hell afterwards. He looked really bothered by what happened, and the Tennessee Titans walk away with a win, and now they're sitting at 4-2. Complete difference between the two.
I don't think you're going to at least the first round of the playoffs. I mean, both these teams should win their division. You know, Tennessee should be hosting a game. Buffalo should be hosting a game. To your point, though, after that, yeah. I mean, the chips are off the table. I don't know that either one of these – the Bills probably had that shot of saying they're the number one overall seed. I don't think Tennessee's good enough to win enough games to be in contention for that. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Maybe I'm in the minority here. I think the Tennessee Titans in another division are maybe a wild card team at best. I don't think that defense will hold up. It's hard to think Derrick Henry's going to hold up. I mean, how many carries did he have last night? Because the guy's touched a football,
that's
at least
the
for the past – he's touched the football at least for the past, what, five games now? Over 28 times per game. Mm-hmm. But that's not taking into account the amount of years and the toll that takes on your body if you're Derrick Henry for the past couple of years that you've put in touching the football, running the football that much.
20 touches last night. 20 carries last night. Not bad.
It's not too bad, but you're also not taking into account, like, I don't know, man. The pass protection, all those hits. You know, he had a couple catches, too. I mean, that adds on to that. I don't know, man. It's been a lot for him.
I think they're legit. I think Tennessee is legit, and I think the Bills are legit. And in terms of where they end up ranking and seeding wise, I think there's still a whole lot of football to be played left. But I do think that this team goes as Henry goes. And his health and his sustainability will be the key to if they're able to have sustained success. I think this was a matchup situation. I think that Tennessee, like you guys have stated, they always match up very, very significantly against the Bills. The Bills had the game. They had the game several different times during the course of this game, and for one reason or another, they allowed Tennessee to stay in the game. So when you're talking about being rated as highly as they are on both sides of the ball, they just have to figure out how to win games where there are matchup problems. And part of that is you have to have better defense. Your defense has to come up bigger in games like this if you're the Bills moving forward. But I think Tennessee has a legitimate opportunity because they do something that a lot of teams just don't focus in on anymore, and that's running the ball. That's playing a physical brand of football. And I think that's why you look at a Ravens team and you say that they're probably right along the lines of the same type of deal. They want to bring physicality to the table to dictate how the game is going to go. And Tennessee was successful in doing that well enough to stay close enough to strike and win, get the lead at the time that they got it.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted in 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. All right, coming up next. You talk about a major free agent signing in the NFL. We could be on the verge of a blockbuster. We'll give you the details next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, who doesn't love, in the middle of an NFL season, a former quarterback who's in the news? And for those of you...
That's right, guys. Yeah, listen. I am out of this thing.
Yeah.
I am out of here.
By the way, that would be phenomenal if you just announced on the air. By the way, guys, whatever you decide to do next segment, I'm not here.
Out of this thing,
I'm going to go back up Trevor Lawrence for Herb in Jacksonville. That way I can get a minute out
for
of Urban's Pine House.
For yeah, okay.
Herb, you know. Okay.
It's just, that's just singular.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. Just, that's what we
you really did make that sound awkward.
Like, well, listen, yeah. I mean.
For Herb, like, yeah. That's
Herb.
A specific thing. You know,
it's
like
our
I'm
guy.
Just going
Herb.
Up and smoke or something.
Yeah. You
just
go saying. Smoke it up.
That's that's our guy. But
with the left hand,
there's a story out there that potentially Cam Newton could be making his way back to the NFL at some point. Now, Cam Newton had he spoke on his YouTube channel over the weekend, said he's fully vaccinated, that he's ready to go. There's been some discussions, apparently, according to Pete Carroll and company. In Seattle, the Seahawks head coach spoke about the potential of Cam Newton being a Seattle Seahawk.
We've already talked to him. We're talking to everybody that could help us, you know, and to go right back to the base philosophy that we always, you know, we uphold here is that, you know, we're going to be competing in every turn with whoever would be available. And so we're on it.
NFL reporter Josina Anderson said, you know, most likely it's not going to happen. But nonetheless, Cam Newton, Brady, a potential Seattle Seahawk, a place you've spent some time at in your career. What do you think about Cam Newton, Seattle? Big time.
I mean, that's a potential shot there. I'm not sure. I mean, is that an upgrade over what Geno Smith did? I mean, he looked good coming in relief for Russell Wilson. I don't think he did anything to hurt himself that much playing Pittsburgh. I mean, one, it's a tough defense. That's part of it. That was on the road through a tutty. It wasn't like they're the most prolific, you know, team, but I don't know. I guess I'm just curious, like, can he get up to speed in that offensive system fast enough? It'd be very different for him. You know, Shane Waldron, their offensive coordinator, he runs a version of what Sean McVay had. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't believe Cam Newton's come across an offensive system during his time in Carolina, or definitely not with the New England Patriots, that's anywhere close to that. So I think there would be a learning curve there. And by the time he maybe feels even comfortable enough to go out in a game, you might be getting Russell Wilson coming back, or at least in a full, you know, full pads out there running through a 2-minute drill on the field before games. You know, so it might mimic you thinking
that's a good
that,
point.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. But LeVar, you tell me. I mean, is Cam Newton an upgrade over what they've got in Geno Smith right now?
That creates a dilemma for me because I do believe Cam Newton is a better quarterback than Geno Smith. Is Cam Newton a better quarterback and a better option right now today, as you mentioned, based upon understanding the you know, complexities or the dynamics of what the offense has to present? I'm not sure of that. You know, what it ultimately leads me to think and what it leads me to believe is that this is a serious situation with Russell Wilson. If you're talking about bringing in other quarterbacks that could actually keep you guys afloat until he gets back, how long does that mean Russell Wilson is going to be out for?
Oh, dude, it's at least another 5-6 weeks. I mean, I try to tell everyone, once you put a pin in, you really can't speed up the healing process. You got to leave it.
You gotta
it's
going to
be in there at least, I mean, my two in there were for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, it would be
at least 3 to 4. Yeah,
it's going to be even longer than that. So it takes a while for that to come back. I don't know why anyone thought it would be any time before that 5-week period.
Well, and that to me is the key. If this is going to be an extended vacation for Russell Wilson and that healing process, then you got to ask yourself the question, if you brought in Cam and you made sure that he could understand the offense well enough to operate with those guys, does he give you a better chance of winning than Geno Smith, knowing the system and being what he is to this team? Sure, I think that the Steelers did well to defense him. But there's just something about Geno Smith that just leaves me kind of like, I don't know, like maybe it's his demeanor. You know, I hate to get into, like, you know, ever talking about a player's ability to play based off of maybe what a personal opinion or assessment of the person would be. But Geno Smith just doesn't do it for me. Like, when I watch him play or I watch how he is, he doesn't exude, I'm in command, I'm leading this team, let's go get this done, let's play hard, let's play well. It's the total antithesis of what Russell Wilson has represented. I mean, even at the end of the game, it's like Russ is going out for the coin toss. You know, you're not even in the game. You're going out in the coin toss situation. So if you brought in Cam, the one thing is, would Cam want to do that knowing that he's on borrowed time, for one? Two, could this team coexist with Cam becoming the starter until Russ gets back? And what is that? What relationship dynamic does that create? Because they're probably going to fall in love with Cam when he comes in. So now, what does that mean? What does that mean for Geno Smith? Is he done?
I don't know. You think they'll fall in love with him?
I think they would. I think he brings that leadership quality. I think he has that something about him that guys tend to gravitate to him. Whether it's because he's a hero to them or whatever it may be, I think they're going to gravitate to him if they were to bring a Cam Newton in. But Pete Carroll sounded the same exact way when they asked him about Colin Kaepernick. And I'm not trying to make this into a black quarterback thing. It's just the coincidence.
Did they call him, you think? Did they give him a call? He hasn't played in five years.
But I mean, he sounded the same exact way when he responded. So that's a tongue-in-cheek response that Pete Carroll had. They're not bringing Cam Newton in.
Okay, listen, I would like to and the last thing I want to do is call anybody out on anything here on the show. I think we should point out though, that, you know, there could be something to why LeVar is not the biggest Geno Smith fan. There could be something here.
I think people of Pittsburgh kind of look down on West Virginia.
Yeah, you kind of look down on West Virginia a little bit. And so maybe because he's got that West Virginia background, you go, well, we don't really take them seriously. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like maybe there's some of that going on.
That's a good pool. That is certainly a very strong pool.
Is there any legitimacy to people in Pittsburgh looking down on West Virginia?
There could, you know, that is the backyard brawl. I am not a Pitt Panther, so therefore I do not subscribe to the idea of what that represents. But I am a Pittsburgher, and I'm not going to say we look down on West Virginians. We're just better than them.
We're just better than them, Brady.
I mean, just is what it is.
Those are your words. I would like to say this about the state of West Virginia. Every time I go there, I'm pleasantly surprised how nice the people are, how beautiful parts of it are. True. Never been to Morgantown. I've always wanted to go. I've heard that is a nasty place to play as an away team. And so I'm thinking, you know, maybe we should get out there at some point. Get the show out there to West Virginia.
And then maybe that'll make me feel differently. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, they don't have a Pittsburgh Steelers team. They don't have a Buccos. You know, they don't have the Bucks. You know, they don't have a hockey team that wins Stanley Cups with the most elite hockey players in all of the game. I mean, they don't have all. I mean, you know, they just don't have those things in West Virginia.
They had gambling. Be still my heart. Is LeVar a hockey guy, Jonas?
What about the Wheeling Nailers? The minor league affiliate of the Pittsburgh Penguins. How about some Wheeling Nailers?
That's what I'm saying. We're major. They're minor.
Hey, you guys ever seen the movie Slapshot? That's one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It's kind of weird.
I like the Ringer personally. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a.
Is that the one where Stifler is? That's not the Ringer.
No.
Which one's the one with Stifler being the man?
Is that Goon?
The Goon.
Yeah.
Goon.
Maybe it's Goon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds familiar. By the way, anybody think that if this was a legitimate thought that Cam Newton was going to be brought in, how do you think Russell Wilson feels about Cam Newton coming back? Because if he's going to be out a minimum of 5 weeks, first of all, let's point out, you know, the obvious here. He's going to get really good at invisible huddles by that time. I mean, you imagine 5 weeks of practice doing invisible huddles.
Could he moonlight as a magician? Is that what this is turning into? Maybe he's like a pantomime.
He's a mime. You know? Yeah, that's a good point.
Could you imagine really seeing him on a strip in Las Vegas, just going through a two-minute drive? People are trying to walk by with their beer,
their yardstick,
and like all their beads around their neck from where they got those.
Yes.
I mean, he could get Sierra involved, and she could start.
Oh, my
gosh. Like,
a residency there?
Yeah.
It could be a real thing.
That's a good point, man.
Mr. Unlimited. You got to be unlimited.
Yeah. Mr. Team Guy. Team Guy through and through. Not about him. By the way.
Not like you some Russell Wilson.
Well, listen, I do have a question, though, in regards to Russell Wilson that I don't think anybody has ever asked on the air. And I would like to get to that question next. First, though, I want to let you know we are brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. All right. So coming up a little over 10 minutes from now, it's the hottest thing going in the world of sports right now. We will get into all of that. Just red hot coming up 10 minutes from now on FSR. All right.
That's right. Boston Red Sox.
All right. Very good. There he is, man. That's that guy right there. That's Brady Quinn, team player through and through. Mr. T's killer.
Just a
job well done there.
I thought you were going a different direction.
Just unbelievable. Like, it's just unbelievable.
That was the equivalent of just a pick six, right? Like you just teed it up. It was way too obvious.
It's good that we did that on the air, too. That was good.
Your last tease was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I was sitting there thinking to myself, I have no idea what he's talking about.
But, all right. That's good. So here's the question. Let's see if you can ruin this one as well, too, on
Brady
the air.
Is funny.
Here's the question. I asked LeVar this during a break yesterday, and I want you to be honest. Right? Don't be one of these kiss asses who wants to cover up for former players and all this stuff. Answer this honestly. If you pulled Russell Wilson to the side and you said, hey, you could have one or the other the rest of your career, another Super Bowl or an MVP?
He'd say MVP.
100%. Good for you. That is the correct answer. That is the correct answer.
I didn't even pause.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah. He's got a Super Bowl. I think the MVP is like the next thing that distinguishes him. And I got to be honest with you, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong in saying this. I'll kick it to LeVar first. Does that make it easier on your resume as a Hall of Famer in your mind? Like, because I think two Super Bowls as a quarterback is one thing. But if you already got one, but being league MVP, that's like, well, yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer now. Because that's also on the horizon along with the MVP conversation.
That's correct. It does bolster your resume. But here's what the better question would be, fellas. Now let me pose this one. Let me stick this one to you. Let me drop this one in your lap so you can see what it is, all right? If Russell Wilson didn't have a Super Bowl, what would his choice be?
MVP.
Between MVP and Super Bowl.
MVP.
No.
Yes, it would be.
No. Because here's the deal. Is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay, but if he had a Super Bowl and all of the stats that he's got, and let's just take away the MVP, do you look at him differently? Because the reality is this. If you believe Eli Manning gets in as a Hall of Famer, all right, Matt Ryan already has better stats. It's not even close, by the way.
But he's got MVPs.
He's got an
MVP. Super Bowl. And Super Bowl. Yeah, well, yeah.
And a Super Bowl appearance.
He didn't win it. He's been to one.
Yeah, and a Super Bowl appearance.
All I'm saying is
Eli Manning. I'm talking about Eli Manning.
Yeah, Eli Manning.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, the difference is if you win a Super Bowl, now, you know, hopefully David Baker's okay. I know he just stepped down. But, like, David Baker opens the door and he's looking at you. I think if you add an MVP to that, it's a shoe and it's just a matter of when. That would be my argument for it.
But you would want the Super Bowl. You're saying Russ would want the Super Bowl. All things given, he had neither at the time. He wants the Super
neither,
Bowl.
I think he wants a Super Bowl first. Because that opens the door. And then if he gets an MVP, now he's walking through that door. Whereas if you're just an MVP, I should say just, but if you're an MVP and you don't have that Super Bowl, you're not going to get in as a Hall of Famer. I don't think. I think you need Super Bowls, especially as a quarterback, and this stigma that comes along with, hey, like, we use this argument all the time. Like, quarterback wins, people will say aren't a quarterback stat or they don't matter, until then we apply it to someone's Hall of Fame case and whether or not they won a Super Bowl. So it's like, we're just all big hypocrites when we talk about it.
That's how it works. Now,
the perception is you have to win a Super Bowl And because it changes the way I think people look at you.
Okay, let me ask you this then. If we all agree that if you pulled Russell Wilson aside off air and said, hey, man, would you rather have an MVP or a Super Bowl? He would say MVP.
It on air.
Okay.
He would say it
you
on
think
air.
He would say it on there? I don't think he would say it. So. I think he would say Super Bowl.
At this point, I think it would be okay for him to say it on air at this point.
I don't think he would.
Because he does have two appearances.
Because I think he still tries to give this impression of something that's not totally accurate anymore. And so I think he's going to tell you whatever answer you want to hear.
I think he's more flagrant about who he is and how he wants to be perceived. I think he's more comfortable with it. I don't think he's always been so comfortable. And I don't know what happened. Was it Tom Brady that made him, you know, shed his cocoon? His metamorphosed body came and came out, and he was a different person. He wasn't a caterpillar anymore. He was a butterfly or a moth, whichever one you want to call in on that side. I don't know. But he's different. He's almost evolved, and maybe this is his adulthood professional version of who he is, but he's a little bit – and flagrant isn't the right word. Maybe it's more – he's just more comfortable being the type of person that he truly is behind, you know, off the camera. He doesn't have to be this super overly, like, gracious person all the time. You can have a little bit of edge to you. You can have a little bit of attitude to you, and it's okay. It doesn't make you a horrible person or an arrogant person. And I think that Russ has gotten really comfortable with that.
It's
maybe it's Sierra. Maybe it's his wife.
Maybe. I mean, but
I was going to say, do you think, what would he do just for an MVP vote at this point?
Go home.
Yeah.
Home, right? I'm the amen.
By the way, he'd vote for himself. I mean, he would vote for himself, no doubt about it.
And you can go to sleep.
Yeah, y'all got to go to bed. Yeah. Seattle, you got a deal. Yeah, my God. Unbelievable.
We got a deal.
Yeah.
Seattle, you got an MVP.
Hey, Seattle, I want to trade. Then let me deny it. It is two pros and a cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. All right, coming up next, I know what you're thinking. Oh, you're going to get to the Red Sox. Brady's getting... No. We have got a major feud in the world of sports involving a Hall of Famer. It's yours next.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
God, Jesus, man. There's not a worse song ever written.
This is absolutely terrible. There's worse songs out there.
The Klondike commercial theme song is better than this. This is terrible, man.
Come on, man. Yeah.
For those of you listening on the podcast, you're the lucky ones. Because this is, what is this song? Is this, who
it's
sings
Neil
this?
Diamond, Sweet Caroline.
Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline. It's not, nothing against Neil Diamond. Just this song stinks. It's not
touching
good.
Hands.
It's played out, man.
Come on, Jonas. Right.
You guys
reaching
enjoy it. Have
out.
Fun. Easiest segment ever done here.
Touching me.
Whoa, touch this.
Whoa, hold on. Touching you. Whoa. Here we go, y'all. Here we go. Sweet Caroline.
Oh my God.
Bum, bum, bum. Never seemed so good. So, so good. So good. So good. So good.
Can I get a jacket?
Yeah.
Bang.
Oh, bump, man. Bump, bump.
This See, is just.
Jonas, you know this was like
so
one
bad.
Of those. This was one of those last call songs.
Of course it was.
So at the end of the night, and it's been a great night, when this thing came on, you got excited.
No, I didn't.
Because this wasn't the end of the bar, or it might have been the end of the bar.
No.
But it wasn't the end of the night.
Yeah,
the night kept going. So
okay,
it was almost like, even though it was the end of one thing, it was the beginning of something else.
Yeah, sure it was.
Something great.
Yeah, well, listen.
Something
they play
fantastic.
This at the end of the third quarter, I believe, at Penn State.
Did they really?
So. Yeah, they do.
Wow.
And if you've ever heard over 100,000 people say, Sweet Caroline, bum, bum, bum.
I mean, I've heard 100,000 people turn what off the radio
so
in the last
good.
5 minutes.
So good.
Heard.
So good.
Oh, Jonas. Hey, let's get to that great Boston curmudgeon.
All right. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. By the way, Sheesh. Coming up 10 minutes from now, somebody is dispelling a major rumor that is out there. A major
not
rumor.
Say it.
Absolutely
say
dispelling
it.
That rumor.
Telegraph that one, too.
We will get to that here 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio.
He got mad. He got mad at me during the break.
Right
now, he gets upset about that.
Right now, it is time for something we do on the show, and it is called a little something here. I promise you, it's called this.
Sometimes you can't get to everything in the world of sports or entertainment. Good thing the guys are here to bring you, in case you missed it.
All right, Lee Delap, executive producer. What is on the docket today? Some craziness that went on yesterday in the world of sports.
All right, you guys, in case you missed it, following that Sunday night football game, we had a little Twitter beef between our own teammate Shannon Sharp and DK Metcalf.
Oh.
Of course, there was that that Steelers-Seattle game, and we all saw DK Metcalf's fumble towards the end of the game where Shannon Sharp tweeted afterwards, "What was DK thinking? Why try to play hero in that situation?" Decided to step out of bounds to stop the clock as the game was coming to an end. DK responded, "Stop questioning me, little boy." Oh. Shannon Sharp came back at him. "Nothing to question. That was dumbass play, and your pride won't let you admit it. You can't question anything I've done. Pray your resume will be as complete as mine. Pray, enjoy the rest of your day." Metcalf came back. "From the looks of it, I could wipe my poo emoji with yours. Continue to gossip, you washed-up wannabe."
Oh, wow.
He later came back and backtracked a little bit, saying, "You know what? You're right, Shannon Sharp. I do pray my resume can match up with yours. Prayer emoji. Work in progress, baby."
Oh, man. By the way, who you got? Hey, who you got? Three rounds. Who you got?
Oh, Shannon Sharp.
Yeah. He's like...
Man. DK Metcalf is a grown...
No
that's
chance,
a grown
dude.
Man. That's a grown...
I don't know,
he might
man.
Be, man, but, I mean, look.
Three
I'm
rounds.
Just saying. They don't make him. They don't make him like Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp is jacked.
That's that old man strength. You know something
hello.
About that.
Did you just say Shannon Sharp is jacked while
yeah,
we were talking about DK
I agree.
Metcalf?
I agree, but this isn't your normal older veteran player who's out of the league. Shannon Sharp. I mean, and listen, Brady knows this.
Isn't he
an EAS, EAS brother
yeah,
as well,
I
too?
I destroyed right. Shannon Sharp on the football field physically. I don't know about that one. Maybe I have a different vantage point than you guys.
Listen, I mean, EAS, man.
I mean, we can measure resumes and say Shannon is 100% spot on. But, I mean, come on, three rounds? DK Metcalf and Shannon Sharp today?
Five
come
rounds.
On,
all right, what about five
Stop.
Rounds? How are we feeling?
Stop.
Five rounds. All right.
It won't go five rounds.
Okay, interesting.
The only thing I would say is Shannon's not as big as I thought he was.
He's not that big. No,
yeah,
he's like a receiving tight end.
230?
Yeah,
about.
He was a receiver.
I think Metcalf's like 6'4", 235.
Yeah, it's not even close.
I'm going to go with my guy,
he
Shannon
just
Sharp.
Looks like he'd win in a fight, man. I don't know. I'm not betting against Shannon, man.
Hey, man. Brady EAS, man.
EAS might have been going a little different than mine.
If you said a fight, like in the streets, I'm taking Rocky Balboa. I will take Shannon Sharp in that one. Because Shannon is crafty. That's what made him so great is he's crafty. But if it's all things given, they're in like an octagon or something like that, ain't no way.
Yeah, by the way.
DK Metcalf would destroy him.
Real talk, though. You know, talking about resumes. You know what the interesting thing is about DK and what his resume will be? It's unfortunate because it's reliant on Russell.
Yeah.
Like, if Russell up and leaves that place, I mean, that's going to impact what that resume looks like, right? He's been lucky to have been born into a system where, like, they value him, and he's got a quarterback who is a Hall of Famer. So that's my concern for DK.
And Shannon was lucky to have John Elway.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that's hindsight now, right? Like, that's already done with. He's already got that resume.
I'm saying
what could happen to DK, because we're both willing to admit he's got the physical capabilities. He's capable as a player. Now it's about who he's playing with. And if Russell up and leaves, that's a problem.
He's just going to have to be good. He's going to have to be great for a really long time.
Yeah.
Period. Like, Larry Fitzgerald. No matter who's throwing it. Yeah. There you go.
It is two pros and a cup of Joe here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR.
Hello.
Coming up next, somebody is trying to dispel a major rumor in the world of football. You'll hear from him here on FSR.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.